there any questions about this before we move on to the next two things? Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. Well, these are just words, right? So you have to be very careful here. The Pali word that is normally translated as consciousness is vijnana. Vijnana is one of the five khandhas, right? The five personality groups. Mind is usually a translation for the word chitta. Chitta is usually mind. So the problem with these things is that because they are just words, they are sometimes used in one way, sometimes in a different way. Sometimes these are used as synonyms, meaning the same thing here. The Buddha, for example, he says that this thing which I call mind, which I call consciousness, which I call mentality, right? This thing which I call mind, which I call consciousness, which I call mentality. In that case, he's using them as synonyms, meaning the same thing, right? At other times, they are used slightly differently. At other times, vijnana, consciousness, one of the five khandhas, it is specifically about your ability to know, to be aware, that it is actually refers to. So you can kind of divide, in theory, this is not in reality, but in theory, we can divide the mind up into different aspects. We can say there is a knowing aspect of the mind, right? There is a feeling aspect of the mind. There is a perception aspect of the mind, which recognizes things. So in theory, it can be divided. In reality, it all merged together. It cannot really be divided up. We can't just have knowing that something, knowing something. It has to be all part of the same thing. Whereas mind is often used instead as it usually means everything in the mental world, everything coming together, feelings, perceptions, the willpower, everything you can experience in the mind is mind, is chitta. So this is the difference. Now, so it's all about how we use words, really. As for the brain, the best way to understand the brain, I would say, is to understand that the brain is really like a restriction of the mind, right? So what it means, in a sense, is that the mind is like filtered through the brain, right? So if you have, let's say that you get some brain damage, right? It looks like your mind is damaged as well. And that's because the mind is filtered through that brain. So when you get brain damage, it will seem as if the mind also is damaged. You can't really talk to the person anymore. It seems like they have lost their intelligence or their ability to speak or whatever. Alzheimer's, same kind of thing, right? The brain is damaged. So it looks like the whole personality is damaged. But it's very fascinating, isn't it? And this, especially with Alzheimer's patients, there's a very interesting book that I read a few years ago, which is called The Irreducible Mind. And the irreducible mind has a lot of evidence about the mind not being equivalent to the brain, which is kind of the orthodox position in modern science, that the brain and mind are the same thing. But this collects over 700 pages by top scholars evidence that supports the opposite idea. And one of the pieces of evidence in there, which is very fascinating, is the idea of Alzheimer's patients, people who are, you know, getting very close to death, having had severe Alzheimer's for years and years, can't recognize anybody, completely out of it. But it's a well-known phenomenon, apparently, in hospitals around the world, that some of these patients, at the very end of their life, they come out of that and they can start to recognize people again. They say, oh, hi mum, hi dad, or, you know, hi son, or whatever it is. How are you? Right? And let's have a conversation. And this conversation, maybe 10 minutes, and then they're gone, and then they're done. Yeah. Now, from a perspective of modern science, or medical science, it's completely unexplainable. You can't explain it, because the brain has Alzheimer's. It hasn't suddenly changed to become healthy again. But from a Buddhist point of view, it is very easy to understand, because towards the very end of your life, your mind is starting to dissociate from the physical reality of the body, right? And because it's dissociating from the physical reality of the body, it is no longer filtered, it is no longer hindered by that brain which is damaged. It's dissociating from that and becoming free from that. And that's why you're able again to actually speak to people and to recognize them. So the mind is not hurt. The mind is not damaged. It's the brain that is damaged. So there is that, I think, is one of the perhaps easiest ways to understand the brain-mind thing. The brain is like a filter for the mind. And that's why damage to the brain will affect your personality. But once you die, the mind will be just what it was before again. This is why Buddhists don't have to worry too much about many of these problems that people have, right? Like Alzheimer's. It's not such, okay, it is suffering for a number of years, but then when you die, you're free from it. Right? If this is the only life you have, well, that's tough, that's pretty harsh, but at least you're free afterwards. Or many of the very severe psychological illnesses like schizophrenia or even depression, sometimes it's caused by imbalances in the brain. Once the brain goes, you're free from that, then you can be okay again afterwards. So it's not as bad, right? It's a different way of looking at things. There's something behind there which is still healthy and okay. Are you happy with that answer? The brain filters the mind. Good. Excellent.
Can I just add from here? Like when you do the part of the body concentration, the brain is one of it. But not the mind, because the mind is sensitive, so it's not part of the brain. The brain will also disintegrate and return to the four elements. So can we take it that the brain is just like one of the organs, and it's not part of the mind?
Can do it. Brain is just part of the physical body, and when you die, it will be gone. It will just go back to earth, and then back to the water element, back to whatever. We can. But actually, the brain is not. It's actually in the sutta. It's only 31 parts of the body. In the Visuddhimagga, it's 32 parts, right? So the brain is part of the Visuddhimagga count. In the sutta, it's not brain. But whatever, I'm just being naughty. Whatever, it's fine. No problem at all. You can do that too.
It's like to separate the mind and the brain. Because usually we think that mind and the brain is
together. Yeah, exactly. Very important point. So when you think about the brain, it's only the gray matter that appears. Your mind is still there.
Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. For the last paragraph, the first jhana.
I think this is really shorthand for all the jhanas, right? It certainly means the first jhana, but I think you can sort of include all the four jhanas in that, because it's basically samadhi, and samadhi, all the four jhanas are included in samadhi. But then at the very least, it means the first jhana, possibly all four. Okay. Everybody else happy? Good.